T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And right now I'm joined by Yankee legendary center fielder Bernie Williams. Bernie?
Oh, my God.
Welcome, Bernie. What's happening?
Thank you so much.
How are you? Good to see you, as always.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
Sorry you had to run through the raindrops a little bit to get here.
And I have to thank all these people here because they stayed.
They did. I tell you,
it was a long line. They never went away.
When I got here about quarter to five, I tell you, this place was packed. I mean, the rain really chased a lot of them away. But these fans have been hardy. I give them credit. Great fans, as always.
Best
absolutely.
Fans in the world.
That's
best
it.
Fans
they
in the
are,
world.
And they got a lot going on. So tell me, before we get to baseball, what's going on with other stuff? What's going on with music? What do you got planned this summer? What's going on?
I got a lot of things planned this month and for the summer. Last night,
are you touring?
I played at the Hartford Jazz Festival.
All right.
27 years in the making, and there was about 30,000 people there.
Wow.
I played with Nestor Torres and Elon Trautman with the Caribbean Connection.
All right.
I felt like a rock star.
How about that?
It was incredible. They had lights and everything going, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm playing 30,000 people here?
How good is that?
It was incredible.
Really? Have you ever played with them before or no?
Two times before that time, Newport Beach Jazz
right.
Festival,
okay.
And Berks in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Do you go to the same jazz festivals? They have the same ones every summer, right? Newport has one.
Yeah.
The same places have the same locales, pretty much. Do you go to the same ones every year?
They want you back. They will invite you.
Well, you have a great – Bernie has a great band. I went did a charity event with Bernie in the winter, and you had an all-star band there that night, and that band was great.
Incredible.
I mean, you can tell me who was in it. But
Richie Cannata.
Right. I know Richie
Chris
was
Clark,
there.
Joel right. Rosenblatt, right. Gene Perez.
That's
Willie
a good
Colon.
Band. That's a
he
good
was amazing,
band. I mean,
man.
You had a good singer. You had a good everything.
Yeah.
You had good guys there. They were very. That was a very talented group.
Yeah, and they have been with me since I started actually performing. So they saw this like evolution of this athlete turning musician into being a pretty decent musician right now.
So how many? What's a busy week? Do you do more than one a week? Do you do more than one appearance a week?
About once or twice, between the music.
Do you
and
like
the
doing
IPF,
a lot of them? You like traveling?
I like playing. I like performing.
Okay. Do you still like traveling? Not like traveling like the old days, but I mean,
not like traveling like the old days. Yeah,
you don't have to carry your own luggage still, but you're not like the old days, right?
Oh
you,
my
you,
God,
you didn't have to touch
man.
A bag in the old days. Yeah,
well, I got to touch all my bags now. I got to carry my own guitars, my
that's
own
it.
Amps, everything.
In those days, you didn't have to wait for anything; just get on the tarmac and go.
No.
And that was it.
Yeah, that's it.
That was traveling like rock stars, right?
That schedule was pretty.
It's amazing how much people have no idea how much teams travel and how much players travel. Those hotels start to run together, don't they?
No, yeah. And, sometimes you wake up and turn a left to go to the restroom, and it's a different hotel. So you go, and it's like you hit yourself in the wall. It's like, whoa, I'm in a different city now. But they all come together, and they all feel like one big road trip.
All right, how about this Yankee team right now? What do you think? The Red Sox are having a great year. It's going to be an interesting chase this summer. What's your thoughts?
I think it's going to be a very interesting chase. I would assume that the Red Sox will not stay this hot, all the way through the end.
They're unbelievable. Last month and a half, they've been unbelievable.
But I tell you what, in 1998, we felt like that. We felt like we can go out there and win
you
every single
game. You guys did not cool off.
Yeah.
Until the last 2 weeks of the season, we didn't play great.
Other than that,
you guys, from the... Yeah. From the day in Seattle when you guys started getting hot, when you're like 1-5,
mm-hmm.
till that day in September, you guys never cooled off.
No, we didn't. We had that meeting with Joe Torre.
Yep.
A lot of people spoke in that meeting, including Derek, myself. And from that moment on, he just snowballed into this great, incredible season that we had. Top it all off with winning the World Series.
Did any other year ever feel like the 98 team did as far as confidence? Did you ever feel like you were going to run on the field and win as much as you did in 98? Was 98 just different?
98 was just different. I think it just came out of the, myself personally making that last out in 97 off of Jose Meza in Cleveland. Swung the first pitch, hanging slider, pop off the left field. That carried me through the whole offseason. I was training like Rocky. The whole offseason, I was just, I got to get this thing off my head. And that sort of gave way to 98. And it was just an unbelievable year. And then 98, 99, 2000. I'm going to count 2001, too. But, you know, for all practical purposes, that was tough. You know, that was a tough one, too.
You know, it's funny. Even 98, and it just shows you, you never know with a team. Cleveland series, you guys are down 2-1 with El Duque going to the mound in that series. And people were like, whoa, this great Yankee team. Now we're going to find out. You know, that night you were down 2-1. You didn't lose another game after that the rest of the way. You ran right through everything after that.
Yeah.
But that, you know, you have to have that moment sometimes, even with a great team.
Absolutely. And I think it was our ability to win close games, those 1-2-run games. We had a great bullpen, obviously, with Mariano.
Deep. And deep, you know, too. A lot of role
Stanton,
players, too.
Stanton, Nelson.
Yep.
All those guys, once we were out of the 6th, 7th inning with a lead, teams were demoralized. They say, well, the game is over. We're going to have either Stanton, Nelson, or Quantrill. And then closing with Mo, it was game over.
You know, you forget how many – you take it for granted now. I'm going to talk with Bernie Williams here at the Yankee Fan Fest. Yankee pregame coming up around 35 minutes or so from now, and then hopefully the game will start on time. We don't know at the moment, but the heavy rain has stopped. You guys went through an incredible run. If you go from being down in the Atlanta series 2-0, and then realize how many World Series games you guys ran off in a row. You guys, it was amazing how many World Series games you won in a row. I mean that you don't see that. I mean, you guys won. It was at least
14.
It could have been 14. That would have won another championship. Let's see. So it's 1-2. No, they lost the Met game. So they lost the game in that series. So they won the last two in 96, the last four in 96, then they won 8 in a row after that, and then the first two in the Met series, and then lost, right? So they lost game 3 or 4 in the Met series. I think they lost game 3 in the Met series, if I remember right, right? So, yeah, so they won 14. That's right. So it's 14. That's an incredible number when you think about it.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, obviously the Yankees deserve a lot of the credit. I'm talking about the front office.
Yeah.
Just to keep that core of players
together.
That's
amazing, though, when you think about that. Yeah. That's taken for granted now, you know, because think about how long it's been to go to the World Series. You know, the Yankees have only won one World Series in a long time now. You know, I mean, we've gone through some droughts through the years, but this has now turned into a pretty long drought for this team. You know,
yeah,
it really
it seems
has.
Like it just happens. I mean, in my mind,
it's hard to win.
Every 20 years, we kind of get this sort of cycle that revolves, and then we kind of form this.
You think this team's getting ready for a cycle? Can you see that coming?
I think so. I mean, if we keep that team together, the way we were kept, it's a little bit more difficult now with free agency and you know, all this, like, you know. Great, you know, incredible contracts, you know, that these guys
There's
are making.
There's a premium put now on having younger players, too, now. You know, it, clearly teams want young, athletic players now.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't worry about having guys older. Now everyone's afraid to have older players. You notice that?
Yeah.
No one wants older players
a
anymore.
A lot more hesitation to get more than 3 or 4 years in a contract. You know, all those days are over. I mean, I think it's kind of, it comes to the players to make sure that they stay ready. And also, I mean, these teams take a big gamble. You know, you're not getting paid for what you are going to do.
You got to pay for what you did. And they want to pay for what you do now, which is true.
Because
look at a guy like Cabrera. Miguel Cabrera is one of the great hitters of all time. They owe him a ton of money, and he's kind of done.
Yeah.
And now they owe him $1 zillion. They owe him over $100 million.
That is true.
And it's crazy. They're not getting their bang for their buck at all rest of. So no one wants to sign those contracts anyway. Even a Trout. I mean, maybe Trout, you make an exception. You know, or something.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's going to be hard to get these long-term contracts.
From a business standpoint.
I'd pay more, guy. What is a player mentality? Would you be okay if I pay you more? But give you fewer guaranteed years. Like, I'll pay you more money, but I don't want to give you as many years. You want to fight for those years, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, from an organization standpoint, I think it's good to have the players fight. I mean, I went through a process that I went through arbitration where, you know, before I became a free agent, it was like from my 3rd year to my 6th year, it was every year it was either arbitration or signing off the arbitration process, but there's always a lot of contention. But, I mean... It also depends on the mentality of the player. A lot of players, they don't even care how much they make. They just want to play and be their best players. Other players, unfortunately, once they get paid, they say, you know what?
Yep.
I don't have to work as hard anymore, you know?
Some guys do.
So you got to find out who's who. And that, you know, that's definitely the teams take a big gamble on that.
You know, there was an owner years ago, Charlie Finley, who owned the Oakland A's.
Oakland A's,
okay? Now, he was crazy. But he had a lot of... he wrote down about 20 things he wanted to happen in baseball. And if you went back, like he said, he wanted the World Series games at night. Everyone said, what are you, nuts? All the World Series games at night. He wanted to have a designated hitter and a designated runner. Well, he got a designated hitter. He didn't get a designated runner. He wanted the bases to be different colors, and he wanted the ball to be different colors. He didn't get that, okay? He also wanted, he wanted every player to be a free agent every year. Now, think about, imagine if every year you start and everybody's a free agent, you can bid on any player you want.
Oh, wow.
Would that be chaos
that
or what?
That would be so much fun.
Imagine if you had a fight and you every year you had to put together a roster every year and you can't pay a guy more than for 1 year at a time.
That would be
now,
so
you don't
much
have to leave. You know,
fans,
if you're good, you can stay. You know, if you're good, the team's going to say, Bernie, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. And you don't have to leave. You could have stayed there 15 years. But the point is, could you imagine if it actually worked that way? It would be it would be fun
incredible.
To see.
It would be incredible.
You'd have some players on edge.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, a lot of the players would take less on the long run to take more security, take those years, because they know it's going to be guaranteed.
Plus, you know, there are guys, and we're talking about Bernie Wins, there are guys who, once they get paid a lot of money, do get a little content. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I think, you know, priorities are, you know, a little bit misled, you know, sometimes.
Right.
But I think there were players that did not care how much they made. They were going to be there for one reason and one reason only, was to be the best player and to have the best careers that they could have, regardless of the money that they made.
Did you think a lot about money during your career? Did you worry about money at all, or did you just worry about performance?
Only when contract negotiations were there. I think that's the part of the business that players don't want to really get too much involved in, at least in my particular case, because that's not the fun part. Dealing with and fighting with owners and negotiating deals, I left that Scott to do that, deal
right.
with that. The part that I really enjoy the most, and the part that I was really privileged and fortunate enough to be, was going out there between the lines and do what a lot of people did not have a chance to do. Playing baseball in the big leagues, you know, it was a gift for me. To get the money was the icing on the cake. But you have to put everything in perspective. You know, all we did was hit a ball, run it, throw it, you know, compare yourself to teachers.
Yeah, but you filled
doctors.
The stadium. You know what?
They're
more important, no question,
yeah.
But they don't fill the stadium. And
yeah,
that's
well.
The difference. And, you know, that's just the way the world works.
But as a player, you got to keep it in perspective.
No
you
question.
Can't really think that you're, you know, heavier and bigger than those guys.
How about winning? You know, because, you know, some guys go their whole career don't win. You know, some guys never on good teams, and they have really good careers. You know, they might be on two teams that are over 500 in their life. You played on winning teams every year. You're the winning when you were in the majors for your whole career. You were the winningest player in the majors of any player who played during that time. You won more games than anybody.
I did not know that.
The only guy was, I think he was second guy was Jeter for a while, and Justice also, David
okay.
Justice.
Because right.
the Braves won a lot.
Of course. Yeah.
So, but you were the winningest guy of anybody who, based on those years, you were the winningest player. You started more winning games than anybody in the major leagues.
Yeah, that's
an amazing thing when you think about it. You played
it
a lot of winning teams.
You know, being in the same team for the same my whole career. Playing in New York was a big, huge, huge factor in the success of my career. And a little luck. I think, you know, I said it, you know, the fact that the Yankees at some point in the late 80s and, you know, beginning of the 90s gave the young players an opportunity to come up and show what they could do before they could trade them or do whatever with them. I think it opened the door for this great run that we have had.
We're talking with Bernie Wins before we head towards the pregame here. Hopefully we get the game in tonight. I think we will as the rain has dissipated a little bit. This has changed a little bit. But give the fans a little perspective on this, Bernie. When George was here, he had a couple things that were his pet peeves. He did not want to lose to the Mets, as we know.
Absolutely.
That's changed a little bit from the ownership standpoint. But tell me, in those days, there was a lot of pressure on you guys to win the Subway Series.
Oh, my God.
Now, tell me what it was like for you guys getting ready. And you guys, a little time, sometimes when you were tired or in a pennant race, it was a little annoying, right? Because you didn't want to deal with the wrath of having him go crazy if you guys lost.
This is true. And, I mean, obviously, it wasn't only the Mets. But the fact that Tampa
Red
Bay
Sox.
And the Red Sox,
yeah, but,
and the Mets.
But the Mets was only six games a year, but if it happened, he got really annoyed.
It was not only six games. It was the spring training games, too. We could not lose to them even in spring training. That was a mandate from, like, up above, down, trickle down to the bad boy. We could not lose to Tampa. We could not lose to the Boston Red Sox, and we could never any circumstances, lose to the Mets.
The worst moods I ever saw you guys in was during a Yankee. You see, I always thought, doing a show, that having a Subway Series like the old days with the Yankees and the Dodgers all the time. I thought that would be unbelievable. It turned out it wasn't that great for this reason. You guys were on edge worse than I ever saw you guys during that Yankee Met World Series. Even Torrey was like, I'm miserable. I can't stand this. You guys just wanted it to be over. Yeah. That was it.
Looking back on it, I mean, it was a lot of fun, but being in it, it was, yeah.
You guys couldn't lose.
He was, yeah. He was very
Then you went over to Shea and it flooded, but the clubhouse flooded.
That's right.
You had to move the chairs and everything.
My favorite part was going from stadium to stadium. You know, they had the escort, and they would, like, clear the whole highway, and we would just go in all the buses and the police escort. It was amazing.
It was great. It really was. But he got really, you know, you miss George on certain things. George got really, he got psyched for these series.
Oh, he took it personal.
He got really upset.
He took it personal. Yeah, absolutely.
So, but you felt that a little bit, right? I mean, guys didn't talk about it probably much, but you felt that you knew he was going to be on edge, right?
We try to feel it. I think, you know, on those years, any expectations that George had on us could not be bigger than our own expectations. So we saw that and we said, oh, yeah, it's just George. He wants to win. He doesn't want to win more than we do, you know. So we got to go out there and do our thing. And, you know, we were successful more times than not.
Oh, that's for sure. Well, listen, good to see you as always. Have
great
a good summer
you
with
thank
your
you so much, man.
With your stuff as always.
Awesome.
Keep it up. Go see Bernie's band play, and we'll see him soon here.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.